Preaching effective sermons in our time is an overwhelmingly impossible task. You know, on any given Sunday, if people in our church have access to more devotionals and sermons, podcasts, and inspiring thoughts on their smartphones than you and I could possibly deliver in a lifetime of good preaching. And that's assuming any of our sermons are really that good. People really don't need more information on a Sunday morning lecture that lasts a lot longer than any of their brief attention spans. What are we preachers called to do in this information age? Maybe should we just forget about preaching sermons? Yeah, I'm reminded of the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. She had a question for him about where and how people should worship God. Jesus told her, "The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way." John writes in his Gospel, "For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." Therefore, since preaching is part of the worship experience, our preaching, to be pleasing to the Father, must engage both the mind in the pursuit of truth and the spirit in connecting with the Spirit of God. We must communicate more than just information. We must share a fresh word inspired by the Spirit of God. We must preach in spirit and in truth. So let's start with the truth part of our preaching, since that's where most of us were taught to begin. To preach the truth, we must study the Scriptures very carefully to grasp the intended message for the original recipients of the passage and then the application for our time. I usually do this early in the week, through an inductive reading of the text and the use of word studies and cross-references. Later, I check my observations with the perspectives of others when I read their commentaries or their sermons. But a careful analysis of the text by itself will really not make a very good sermon. For a sermon to be in truth means that I must speak not only the truth about God and His Word, but also the truth about myself and the current needs and struggles of the whole congregation. To do this, I have to spend a lot of time listening to the people in my church, praying for them, caring for them, but I also need to listen to what God is saying to me through the text before I can speak for Him to the people. Sometimes I complain to God about this hard work, especially on those frustrating days when I've worked so hard to write a sermon, but I've found no inspiration. And I say, "God, life would be much easier if you just dispatch an angel to each gathered congregation in the world with a customized sermon direct from the Father for that Sunday. Would that be so hard? How could anyone argue with a sermon like that? Everybody would walk out of church each morning and say, 'You know, I heard directly from God this morning.' Why doesn't God do that if He wants His sermons to speak to people and it's important to Him? But God has chosen to communicate His message through humans, to incarnate the gospel through lives of weak, struggling, inadequate people like you and me. And the messages that people need to hear are the ones communicated with integrity through the lenses of the experience of the preacher, where the truth of God intersects with the truth of our human heart experiences and struggles. He said that He puts His treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Angels simply cannot speak convincingly with integrity about the joy of forgiveness, the victory of faith, or comfort in grief." One Saturday, a lot of years ago, I was at the church struggling with a sermon. You know, I thought I had a pretty good outline, good things to say, but it felt like a dry sermon, the kind of lecture you might hear in a classroom, more than a really compelling message from God. In my frustration, I finally got up from the desk and I started pacing back and forth outside in the parking lot, deep in thought. I had my head down and I was struggling with God. And I remember Pastor Erie Renna, the retired pastor of our church, happened to stop by at the church and asked me if I was looking for something. I said, "Yeah, in fact, I felt like I have a sermon, but I need a message." He told me he was sure I would find a message if I kept looking and praying for it. That experience helped to change the way that I prepare sermons. The bulk of the time I now spend preparing to preach is not in my office surrounded by books and sermons and a computer preparing for the truth aspect of the sermon. My most valuable time now is spent in the mountain by myself, praying, listening, preparing for the spirit part of the message. I have found that a sermon from my mind goes only to the minds of my listeners, but a message from the spirit penetrates their minds and their spirits. The mind without the spirit is just a lot of words, but the spirit without the mind is just a lot of passion. But taken together, spirit and truth combine to form a very powerful encounter with God, even in this information age. Neither angels nor smartphones can deliver a compelling spiritual message to God's people. He usually speaks through a person. The Apostle Paul described the message from the Spirit in his letter to the Corinthians. Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in his book, The Message. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you the same firsthand, personal way. The main question with which I am forced to wrestle before I share each message is this: why does this message need to be preached? Sometimes to answer that question, I sit in prayer with an imaginary committee made up of a wiggling 5-year-old boy, a very tired and wearied new mother, maybe a distracted businessman or a retired preacher who's heard it all, maybe a sweet little sincere widow or a bored college guy who's all in our church family. These people will all likely hear the message. And I go around in prayer and I invite God to speak to each one through this message. And it's only when I have heard God's compelling message for each one that I feel like I'm ready to bring this message. Recently, I was preparing a sermon from Revelations 12 and 13, the chapters that describe the deceptive evil trinity of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. And I struggled quite a while because I was distracted by all the speculative questions about who is the beast? When will he appear? What's the nature of the meaning of the numbers 666? However, as I continued to listen in prayer, I began to realize that people really didn't need to hear another speculative theory or doomsday scenario from the internet. They needed a fresh word from God, a message of hope and truth in a very negative and hopeless world. God brought me to Revelations 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. I was so encouraged by the message that no matter how violently Satan unleashes his fury over the brevity of his time, God's people will simply overcome him by clinging to the blood of the Lamb, even if he takes our possessions, our lives. As far as we preachers know, we have not yet come up against the beast or the Antichrist, but we do have our work cut out for us when preaching to sleepy, restless, bored people. Our strategy has to begin by giving ourselves to Jesus Christ, depending on His Spirit to speak through His Word to bring glory to Jesus and to allow His Spirit to do what He wants to do. He calls us to lead His children into an encounter with Him in spirit and in truth. Every time we preach, even in this information-saturated age. We can't do that by downloading a sermon from the internet and spicing it up with some corny jokes or even some catchy PowerPoints. We can only do that by listening to His Spirit and wrestling with His truth. He wants to incarnate His message through the most unlikely of instruments so that the glory belongs to Him alone. We must preach in spirit and in truth if we are to be faithful to God's call in this information age. And then let Him do what He wants to as His Spirit energizes His Word through us to bring glory to Him alone.